Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. County Judge Peter Sakai is with us now. He's here to give us an update on the new county budget, what's going on with some possible downtown sports complexes and helping VIA with rapid transit. But first, the county was in court today over a legal challenge from the State Attorney General Ken Paxton over the mailing of voter registration forms, and the county came out on top on that, I imagine, Judge Sakai. What happened on that?
Yes, we did. We had a hearing this morning in the civil presiding court. We were assigned out to Judge Antonia Arteaga, and we had a hearing this morning. Kind of went back and forth. There were some logistical issues, but we finally had the hearing, and Judge Arteaga ruled that the request by the Attorney General in behalf of the state was moot, which means that the registration cards that were issued by a nonpartisan organization to newly moved-in residents to Bexar County was too late. The cards have been put out. In fact, the report is some of those registrations are coming in, which I am really proud of, because this hearing today was about the right to vote. And I was there on behalf of the county to defend the county's right and the voters' right to vote. And obviously, they can't vote unless they're registered, Dave Davies, and that's what we did today.
Right, and there's a lot of misinformation out there about what happened and the process. When people fill out these forms and they mail them in, then those forms are checked by the state of Texas, and they are verified that everyone who registration will be complete and will be allowed to vote, that they are supposed to be able to vote, right?
That is a very accurate and correct statement, Dave. Any registration that is submitted into our elections administrator is going to be verified by Jackie Callinan's staff. Also, too, the Secretary of State will verify all those information. Remember that on the registration, you have to affirm that you're telling the truth or you're subject to be criminally prosecuted. Plus, you have to have a valid ID and your last four digits of your social. So this insinuation, accusation that there's voter fraud, at least here in Bexar County, has no basis in fact or law.
And we've got to distinguish that there's such has nothing to do with voting. They're not casting a vote. They are setting themselves up to be able to vote, but this is not voter fraud. Even if things go cattywampus, this is not voter fraud. This is about being vote. We have a very strict process, and we're allowing people to go through that process.
Again, Dave Davies, you hit the nail on the head. You are accurate and correct, and I have no doubt that we have voter integrity here. But you go back to what you earlier said. We were not touching the ballots. We're not telling people how to vote. We're not chasing certain people. No, we identified newly moved-in residents that are eligible to vote, people that are in the military, people that have just recently moved in, college students, whatever. We wanted to increase voting turnout. We know that in the last several elections, at least to the last presidential election, voting turnout has really been dismal. And we wanted a boost up. And obviously, this was a win for democracy, and this is a win for the right to vote.
So I ask you if you could venture, fire up your imagination here. Mm-hmm. Why do you think the Attorney General Ken Paxton was so enthusiastic in trying to prevent Bexar County from doing such a good deed?
I've chosen not to speak about our AG in any form or fashion. I have no idea why he does the things he does. All I know was we had a legal opinion from the DA's office. We did our research in order to make sure that this voter registration was proper on legal authority. And we have legal authority to move forward. And that's the reason why, in my opinion, we're able to move forward. Although the lawsuit filed by the AG is still open, and it'll be up to the AG to determine what his next move is. What is that going to be? I have no idea.
Last week, the Bexar County was able to cross the I's and dot the T's on the new budget. So what's that look like?
Well, I'm really pleased. It was a 5-0 vote, so it was unanimous support for a budget that decreased spending. Overall spending came down a bit. So I have said, and I ran when I ran for county judge, that we needed to tighten the belt, so to speak, and we did that. Also, too, we did not increase the tax rate. The tax rate, in fact, has stayed the same, if not been lowered, in the past 30 years. And so we also focused the budget on what I thought the priorities were: public safety, public health, economic development. We made a significant contribution to the sheriff's office, adding over 41 deputies, a specialized unit called STOP, which will go after repeat violent offenders that were big, that are problematic last fall and caused that big brouhaha between the chief of police and the DA's office. So we're going to continue to look for the bad guys, so to speak, that caused a lot of destruction and harm. We also added more constable deputies, and we increased the pay scale for the DA's office in order to stem the retention problem he has for his high-level prosecutors who obviously were leaving and going into perhaps private practice or other prosecutorial offices. So it was really focused on public safety. We continued our efforts to support public health with mental health programs with the school districts. We got significant programs going on for drug and alcohol treatment and to deal with those issues, especially the opioid and the fentanyl issues that are plaguing our community. And then finally, we focused on economic development, which is continue to bring in high-paying jobs. JCB is our biggest win since I've become county judge. And I took a trip to Japan earlier this year, and I can tell you, I can't divulge who they are, but we have at least two or three manufacturing companies that are coming to San Antonio. Not ready to announce yet.
San Antonio is an interesting geographic position. There's a lot of electric vehicle action going on all around us in Austin and even in San Antonio, and it seems to be the growth area. And it's, I mean, that seems to be something that a lot of manufacturers, they would want to be involved in this area.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'll give a shout out to Port SA. Jim Pershbach out there, the CEO, is doing a wonderful job with innovation. And they've got incubator companies on there that are going to come out with some really leading, cutting-edge innovations on electric vehicles. Or you can bring Jim into. I don't understand all the things that they got going out there. Obviously, we have the Cybersecurity Command that is looking at the Port SA. Also, too, people need to recognize that cybersecurity, at least through the University of Texas San Antonio, is we're probably going to have the probably tier one, if not the top university in regards to cybersecurity. And, you know, this a block from here, they got two buildings, and they got that one building up there on UTSA called the San Pedro Building 1 and then San Pedro 2. Those are all dedicated to cybersecurity. We're going to be cybersecurity headquarters.
They're crowding in on you at the courthouse, you know, so many UTSA buildings, you know, and they're talking about putting in more. Downtown is going to become like a college campus.
That's called economic development. As y'all's new, well, it's not new anymore, but along San Pedro Creek, you know, we've got some really great things cooking here. And that's all part of having a healthy community. I think the recent report is Bexar County, San Antonio community is one of the fastest growing populations in the country.
Right.
So we got to meet those needs. And college kids and young people are going to have to be the driving force for the next generations.
And so when they're saying San Antonio added 20,000 new residents in the last year, the highest in the nation for a major metropolitan area, they're not really talking about in the city of San Antonio. A lot of that growth is out in the county in unincorporated areas. And now we know, you know, San Antonio can't annex like it used to. And so these are residents who are mainly going to be part of the county and depending on the county for services.
And that's the reason why when I ran for county judge, I put public safety as one of my top issues. And that's the reason why I believe I'm following through on my campaign promise to increase. And as you know, in the predecessor commissioner's court, the relationship of the sheriff's department commissioner's court probably wasn't very good. They didn't cooperate, communicate very well. They didn't coordinate. Ever since I've come in, I think we have an excellent relationship with Sheriff Salazar, the Deputy Sheriff's Union. We have stemmed the, or at least been able to improve the retention. He has nearly filled out all the vacancies when we gave him 50 deputies last year, and now we've given him another 41. So we must meet the needs of the of that population moving into the unincorporated areas, because you're right, especially in that far west area, as you kind of go Highway 90, Medina County, with those data centers. Boy, that area is exploding, as is the far south where Toyota Campus and now JCB is going to be. And my prediction is you're going to start seeing the southeastern part of the county, unincorporated area, really explode with growth. So we need to be ready for all the challenges growth brings. It obviously, it'll increase the tax base. We'll be able to perhaps always keep our tax rates down, if not cut a tax rate or two at times. But at the same time, we always got to stay to the nuts and bolts.
These places need dog catchers and all sorts of services that are not, the city's not going to go out there and do it for them unless you have an agreement with them.
That you just hit on something. We made a commitment in this budget to, I forgot how much of an increase, on a new animal control facility, which will be on the south side off Cagnan Road, I believe. And it will double triple the amount of animals that we need to take off the streets. Obviously, dangerous dogs and dangerous animals are a problem. And so we want to be ready to deal with that issue to make sure that our public is safe.
All right, so we got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or a comment for Bexar County Judge Peter Sakai. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about these. I'm hearing about some sports complexes downtown. I really don't know what's real and what's not. Maybe you can help us figure that out. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in our downtown studio is County Judge Peter Sakai. He's here to take your questions. You've got to want to give him a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So Judge Sakai, the San Antonio Spurs, I think you've heard of them. They play at a facility that the county owns, but there is talk of them moving, if a deal can be struck, to a downtown facility, which is where the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures exists currently, although it is no longer an open facility. What can you tell us, broad strokes?
Yeah, broad strokes. Obviously, there are some what they call non-disclosure agreements that have been signed off that restrict me to talk in a full sense. But what I can say this is that obviously when I started as county judge, there are already talks going on between the city and the Spurs. And I don't believe the county was involved or when Judge Wolf was there. So when I came in, obviously I'm getting organized and getting my team all organized and we're moving forward. That's when I believe the Express News or one of the medias was able to get emails and text messaging that there were these conversations going on about the Spurs moving downtown. And so when I was alerted, I made sure that the Spurs and the city knew that the county needed to be part of that conversation, because under the current contract, the Spurs are obligated to play in the Frost Bank Center till the year 2032. Now, does that bind them? No. There's contractual ways to get around that. And so one of the discussions that I said from the very onset, that in order for the county to have a buy-in on a move from the Spurs, meaning I want my Spurs to stay at the Frost Bank Center. They're there to 2032, and I'd be happy for them to stay there and then have a discussion whether they want to stay or go. But I understand, you know, they feel that for their viability to manage their championship, they may need another arena. So I'm letting the city and the Spurs have that. My number one stipulation was there was a promise made to the east side for economic development around especially the Frost Bank Center. and the east side.
And that's long before you ever became a county judge.
That's long before.
That's what
and
the
I put,
county judge Cryer was doing.
And that. I put that back on the table, that if they want the county support, whatever that may be, and those are details that we have not in any way fleshed out, I said, we got to make a commitment. So that I believe I have a commitment by the city of San Antonio, the Spurs, and the county that we're going to have a plan for that entire area. So that if the Spurs leave, I cannot let the Frost Bank Center become another Astrodome. And if you know what has happened to the Astrodome, it's dilapidated, it's old, it's just an eyesore. I will not allow that to happen. So I need to repurpose the Frost Bank Center to whatever it may be. Remember, there's another major tenant in that Frost Bank Center, and that's the San Antonio Rodeo, that they have become one of the very top rodeos in the whole nation. And so there's an opportunity to repurpose Frost Bank Center. And obviously, we may need to renovate it, bring it up to speed to fit whatever venue we want that Frost Bank Center to be. So there is an opportunity that we can help economic growth in the east side, true economic growth. We can get the Frost Bank Center to be what it needs to be. I want to look at the whole grounds around that. It's right now, it's just a bunch of barns and some facilities for the rodeo. And then they have their activities over the Joe Freeman, the graduation things and those type of ceremonies. No, I'm looking for a whole repurposing of that area because that was the promise made. And I believe if we go down that path, Dave, then we have an opportunity to hopefully we can accommodate the Spurs and the city of San Antonio, whatever projects or how big those projects are going to be. But I want to remember, and I want to have the community to remember, that I want economic development for the east side, true economic development.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-TPR-TALK, and we have Samir. Samir, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, thank you. I have a question for Judge Sakai regarding the Missions Baseball Park. So initially, you were very much against it, and then there was a lot of closed door discussions with city council and the developers that you found out about, from what my understanding of reporting is, and you were pretty upset about it, but now you've kind of changed your mind. That's the first question. Why did you change your mind? And then there was a recent excellent article in The Current that just came out saying the economics professor Andrew Zimbalist at the professor of Massachusetts Smith College, who studies these types of city funding programs, said that this is not going to be all that's happening. And I quote, is existing tax revenue is moving into the special district, the basically what's called the tax increment reinvestment zone, or TRIZ.
The TRIZ.
And the TRIZ, there you go, mm-hmm. is going to use the revenue to finance the ballpark. It just means the city loses revenue from places outside the district, and it's going to hurt the city budget. It means less money for schools, roads, police, and so forth. It's not creating money from falling from the heavens. It's really just redistributing existing revenue.
Well, first...
Okay, Samir, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you calling in.
Let me kind of clear the record, so to speak.
So was that narrative correct? At first you thought this was not a good idea, but now you think it is a good idea?
What the circumstance was when I ran for office, I said that was a big issue. Would you support a baseball stadium? And I said, no, not on public financing and just taking out a homeowner property tax. That was a no. That was a hard no. But what happened was baseball ownership went to the city of San Antonio. City of San Antonio was occupied with a conversation with the Spurs. So the baseball ownership came to the county. And when they first met me, they knew that I had taken a hard line. And so when, as a former judge, lawyer, many years of experience of negotiation, I told the baseball ownership, I can consider a new baseball stadium if, one, it's not on homeowner property tax. That would be general revenue. That would mean possibly a tax increase. I said, that's a no-go. Two, I want to see some type of equity interest that the county would have in order that we have something that after it's paid for, the county would have equity so that it could sell it, it could flip it, whatever it could do to make money on it. Three was that there had to be substantial private equity that could not be all government funded. And so they left the table saying, we'll get back to you. And what happened was they did come back to me meeting all those stipulations. The other big issue was, and this was a decision that made me shift to the baseball, was that I did not realize that Major League Baseball now controls all operations of professional baseball, including minor league. I also was told and was verified that the Major League Baseball had determined that the Nelson Wolf Stadium was inadequate, and that if there was not a new stadium or substantial upgrades that the city wasn't willing to do, they were going to pull the missions and take it to a city that was willing to finance a public finance stadium. So with that, I made the conscious decision that baseball, minor league baseball in its current form, is really a family entertainment. It's one of the cheapest ways to take your whole kids, and if you go to a missions baseball game, it's full of kids running around. And I love baseball. And so it was, for me, a no-brainer to say we need to look at the possibilities. Now, when we came to the mechanism of how this was going to be financed, the caller has identified is a TIRS. It's a tax increment reinvestment zone. That district is a special district created by statute. It's called the Houston Street TIRS. And what it, the money that is raised by the tax increments, in other words, the current tax base goes to the city, the county, the school district. And so whatever equity interest, because Graham Weston, the investor of Weston Urban, has promised as part of this stipulation to put in nearly $1 billion of private equity to this whole area.
So, this whole area, saying, so where, if they do this, then the land around it becomes more valuable. Therefore, the tax base increases and the revenue that the city and the county now is able to achieve from that is what pays for the investment that the that you made.
Bingo. You hit it on the nut. So what happens is that this private investment and the equity it raises with its own money is going to pay for bonds. Now, the bonds are public finance, but it's not out of property tax money. And so for me, it's a win-win. It's a win-win so that we can take that area. And you know, this is a couple blocks away. It's over there by SAISD admin building and runs all the way to about Martin Street, right? It's mostly public. It's open land. It's parking lots. There's some buildings on there. Graham Weston pretty much has bought all that property.
Soapworks, apartments and stuff.
Soapworks, yeah. It's all bought up. And so this is an opportunity. One of the missing pieces that has not been discussed is the projection that this investment is going to raise about $12 million annually for the school district, and that's SISD. And if that is, if those projections are true, that's a game changer. Also, too, there's a commitment now for affordable housing, which the county is willing to look at as part of the building up of this whole district. Let's invest in affordable housing either within the district or surrounding areas for affordable housing so that we can build up the stock, so to speak, for families and children, which will build up the enrollment of the school district. That has been the missing piece in the discussions of whether we should be financing this.
So what's next steps for you and the county?
The county's going to continue. What we have to do is we have to negotiate now with the baseball ownership and the city as to the county's contribution and what we're willing to put in order to finish out all the details.
This looks like a done deal. This is going to happen, you think?
Not yet. We have some more negotiations. I got to make sure it's the right deal for everybody, including, most importantly, the taxpayers. I really want to make clear that we're not using homeowner property tax. We're getting public financing through bonds,
right,
and these bonds will be paid by the increments of the property tax, and the school district captures all that money.
Judge Peter Sakai, thank you so much for coming in today into The Source. Taking questions from our listeners and give us an update on these important projects. Appreciate that. This
Thanks,
is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.